all you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope your computer is locked onto our website, kptz.org. The website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. I'm Marianne McNellis. The show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who was that Zorro lookalike having tea at Pippa's the other day? The long black cape, the flat-brimmed black hat, and dark glasses completed the air of mystery. But this Zorro also had a long black braid that reached almost down to her knees. What do you call a female Zorro, anyhow? Zorette? Only in Port Townsend, right? And who was that guy in orange shorts going into the post office? Has he no respect for Mother Nature? Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. The show, Our Town, tries to profile some of the singular personalities who live here. But the show is only a half hour long, which definitely is not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Monica McHager, who's about to start her first term as a member of the Port Townsend City Council. Before we get started, a little disclaimer. Monica is on the board of directors of KPTZ and is also engaged to one of our talented hosts. But neither of those items have anything to do with today's interview. We're here to hear about her plans for City Council. But before we get there, Monica, let's talk a little bit about your background. The main purpose of Our Town is to get to know some of the interesting characters around here. Let's start with basic stuff. Were you born on the Olympic Peninsula?
Hi. No, I wasn't. I was born in Chicago, Illinois.
I see. And did you come from a large family?
Large family, Irish Catholic family from the North Shore. I call it an American family. We're put together with my parents divorcing and remarrying wonderful people. I have 10 brothers and sisters.
Wow, 10 brothers and sisters. And where do you fall into the lineup?
With my original family, there was 5 of us mix, and I was the middle child. But for the last few years before I left, my mother remarried when I was 16. Then I became third oldest.
Okay. Things must have changed quite a lot during that period of time. I'm always interested in people's high school experience. You know, kids label each other. They say, you know, she's a jock, he's a nerd, whatever. How do you think you were seen?
I was kind of an odd duck, I think. I was a cheerleader. By sophomore year, junior year, I had to go completely dark and goth, and I became an angry teenager. So I hung out with very different crowds depending on the time of the day or on the weekend.
You must have had to change outfits a lot. You know, the cutesy cheerleader thing,
right,
the dark goth.
It was very character driven.
Did you grow up in an environment where you were expected to go to university?
Yes, I went to an amazing public high school called Nutra East. When I went, we had the highest turnout for university. Just 3% did not go.
That's absolutely incredible. Well, were you one of these kids who had a firm idea, I want to be X when I grow up?
No. I started settling into who I am. But when I was 25, it's when I had my first child. And it's when I started gardening for myself, which ended up becoming my business for the last 30 years.
Wow. Well, you're jumping ahead a bit. So you did go to university. Where'd you go?
I went for 2 years on and off after I graduated. And I went to Northwestern University, which is also on the north side of Chicago.
It's a very good university, I understand.
It's turned out that way.
And then what happened? 2 years there.
Oh, you're going to make me remember so far back. I fell in love with a merchant marine young man. He didn't like Chicago. He was from L.A. I didn't like L.A., so we chose San Francisco.
So how did a nice girl from the North Shore of Chicago meet a merchant marine?
Through my older brother.
Okay.
They were going to school together.
I see. And you moved to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Now, people in the merchant marine spend a fair amount of time off being a marine, right?
Right. He worked for Mobil Oil, and he was gone 7 months out of 12.
Wow.
And he was home about 2.5 months.
That must have been
one time.
Rough.
You know, it was okay. We were young. I'm very independent. So it kind of worked for us until the kids started growing up. And then it was harder to be a family that way.
How many kids do you have?
I have two with him, but I have four total.
Okay. That's fine.
Two came along in my second marriage.
Just to sort of complete that cycle a little bit, those kids are now all adults, right? Young adults?
All my babies are adults. My oldest is 40, and my youngest is 33 years
okay,
old.
Well, let's just run through a little roster of what they ended up doing.
I'll start with the oldest.
Okay.
That's Annie. She is a mother of two of my grandchildren. They live on Bainbridge Island. Her husband, he's worked for Google for a long time, so he travels. She was a school teacher until she decided to be a stay-at-home mom. Josh is next. He just recently married and expanded our family by another grandchild in Crystal just 3 months ago. He is a photographer in Kirkland and lives in Kirkland. Carney is the next one in line. She lives here in town and is married. She and her husband, David, have a welding shop down in the Boat Haven. Mm-hmm. He's a welder. My youngest is Joseph. He lives in Gig Harbor with his lovely bride and their three children, and he works for the Bremerton Shipyards.
Wow, all four of them live really close by.
Oh, I'm so lucky.
You were a young newlywed in San Francisco on your own a lot of the time with little kids running around.
Not really. We stayed in San Francisco for a year. No family members yet. We looked around and we chose Bodega Bay, which is a small town. It had 500 people. Most of them were fishermen and their families long term, much like here, and a bunch of hippies. We stayed there for about 10 years. We moved up here in 85. I was pregnant with Joseph. Carney was 5 years old.
Did you move immediately to Port Townsend?
We rented in Edmonds, and we looked at all of Washington. We chose Washington because his ship comes in the most here.
Right.
We thought that would help the family being able to drive and see him maybe just for a few hours when the ship was in, because oil tankers discharge super fast. The first place we came to check out was Port Townsend, and it was full of hippies. So we went home. I said, I think we're going to be okay. There's hippies in the first place. So we looked for 3 months and we never found a town with hippies again. So we came back and bought our first house here.
Well, I'm always curious when people first come to Port Townsend, what catches their attention? What was it that drew you in? Not just the hippies. There must have been some other magic going on.
Well, having young people here, because I was 29, I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to make friends. I've loved my childhood in Wilmette, where I grew up, where we could get on our bikes and we could be free all day. And the beach was a mile away. You could be outside and it was safe. So I was looking for that out here on the West Coast because I really love the West Coast. I've never, ever looked back from leaving the Midwest. Port Townsend has a flavor about it that reminded me of my childhood and where I grew up. But of course, it's very different. It's got mountains and water everywhere. But it turned out to be true. My kids were free here. We had a good bus system then, so they could go where they wanted. And it was a great place to raise kids. And that's what my goal was.
What about the schools in Port Townsend? Were they up to snuff when your kids were in?
They worked fine for my four kids. Where we noticed a big difference is when our kids started reaching college age and going to college or different kinds of specialty schools. Then you would see lapses or spaces in their education, but they all did just fine. And I think maybe all public school districts come good in certain subjects and strong. And when you're starting to compete with people from different districts and different states, you start seeing a different level of education.
Also, small school districts don't have the resources that big ones do.
Port Townsend offers my kids a completely different education, which an urban area wouldn't have given them. And I think it's made them very rounded human beings. They all have their own outdoor sports that they're passionate about. They are connected to nature.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Maryam McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Monica McHager, who's newly elected to the Port Townsend City Council. We've been talking so far about Monica's early life and her kids. Now we're going to hear more about how she became a business owner and finally ended up joining City Council. First, let's do the business side. You ended up going into landscaping. Tell us about that.
So I was going through a divorce to a man who was a very good father and a very good provider. So we worked out a master plan that worked for us for years. It allowed me to stay home with my kids until Joseph, who was the youngest, I just had two then, was in school. So as he started turning around four, I started thinking, I got to go to work. And it's been a very long time since I worked. I thought, well, gee, I love being a mom, but no one's going to pay me to be a mom. The other great love I realized was gardening. And I was raised by my grandparents for about 5 years, and my grandfather was a landscaper. So I used to go to job sites with them, hang out in the yard. When I went to Northwestern, I focused on horticulture classes and history. So I decided to hang out my shingle. It was a classified ad in the Leader. And I did that for about 18 months working for other people. I wanted to see if I could enjoy working in someone else's garden and go home and not have it mine. Because gardens are such a form of art. I found out I could. When Joseph went to school, I licensed up and started a landscaping business and have been doing that ever since.
And what's it called?
Budding Earth Landscape.
Now, that can be quite time-consuming to be an entrepreneur. At the height of the business, how many people were working with you?
At the height of the business, I had four kids. I ran 7 to 11 employees and four trucks. So it worked out fine. I had a lot of braces to bring money home for, soccer shoes, college coming at us. I was with my second husband by then. I spent time on my own as a single mom in between my marriages, about 8 years.
Well, I know you told me the other day that you have stepped back from the business quite a bit. So you're semi-retired, would we call it?
I think so. I think that's what I'd call it. My kids are grown. They have mortgages. They're the ones working really, really hard. After I divorced a second time, I decided to rent, which I've never regretted. I have a beautiful one-bedroom apartment. It doesn't take a lot of my time. I've gone down to 20 hours. I did that about 6 months before I seriously started campaigning for City Council.
Well, you know, even though this is the first time you are going on to City Council, you seem to have had a lot of practice by being on various commissions and committees. Can we talk a little bit about some of that?
Sure. I started in Bodega Bay. I was a volunteer firefighter for the years we were there. Then the kids came, and I did a lot of activist work with groups in town on projects I cared about, projects we were either trying to stop in our sound or in our town, or supporting projects that would be good for our community. And 16 years ago, I applied, and I was put on the Park and Rec Advisory Board, and I was on it for 6 years. Then I was put on the Planning Commission board, appointed to that. And I've been on for 11 years on the Planning Commission, and those two boards are with the Port Townsend, with our town, our city.
So tell me a little bit about what you feel those boards accomplished during the time you were involved. What progress do you see, and maybe even what things you wish you could have done and didn't do?
There really isn't anything from the advisory board work that I look back on and say I wish we had done, because they're active boards, they're organic. So it is a group of volunteers, citizens, you either have to work in town or live in town. And you work with, depending on the advisory board, 5 to planning commission has 7. You are used by city council, who will task you to work on things in the area of your advisory group. So parks and recs was the parks and the recreation.
I've never sat in on one of the meetings of one of these groups. So let's start with parks. What were there new parks instituted during the time you were involved with that? Or is it more about how do we use our resources? What do you actually do?
Yes, you work with your staff person, usually the department head. You talk about the budget. When we did it 16 years ago, we helped coordinate volunteer groups to help clean parks. I was on when we lost Steve Corr, which he was an amazing parks manager. We got to do a wonderful job of changing Holler Fountain Park. Then we did it in honor of Steve. We put in all the seats everyone sees and sits on the bottom. We paved it. We moved it back and put in new plantings. He always said that was his favorite park, but he never had any time or any money to do anything with it. So that was very cool to be part of that. And it's always there. His picture is up there on the kiosk halfway up by the flagpole. That was a good project. So you do things like that. It goes with the times, and the Planning Commission is the same. It's tasked by City Council to work on reviewing ordinances, reviewing codes, generating new ones. You work deeply with the planning staff. And the main job of the Planning Commission is you are in charge of our comprehensive plan, which is our vision, our book of where we want to be in 20 years. We did our first one as a city in 1996. And then I was on the board when we did the 20-year update, and that was in 2016.
Hmm. Now, you're not still on the Planning Commission, are you?
I am.
Ah. Can you do both? Can you
no.
be on the city? Okay.
The clock is ticking.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you will have to resign because you're going on city council. Being on both of those gives you, I would think, a lot of insight into how the city runs.
Yes.
From a very sort of ground-up view.
Yes.
It's not just standing back. So what made you decide to run for city council?
I ran for city council because I was having concerns about decisions our city council were making. Not all of them, but enough of them that I was getting concerned. And I also started feeling and noticing that they were taking less and less public participation. Every 2 years we have a election, different seats for city council. So I thought about it the 2 cycles before, but I made a very selfish decision both of those times because I love my life. The kids are grown. I have an amazing man. Don't have to work very hard. I live in Port Townsend. I am doing volunteer work. So I said no, and I didn't file. 2 years ago when that happened, there were 3 seats up. At the end of the week to file here in the county, no one filed against any of the 3 seats, and all incumbents wanted them back. They filed. Yeah. And I knew immediately I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, I've been quite puzzled by that in Port Townsend, how many seats for all sorts of things go unopposed. It's just sort of shocking. So there were 3 seats this time.
Which, 4.
4, sorry. How did you decide which one you wanted to file for?
I knew I wanted to file against any city council member current that wanted to have that seat again.
Right.
Because I wanted the dialogue. I wanted to talk. I wanted us as a community to ask questions of our city council person and get their rationale and see if we wanted to vote them in again. It's where we have our most power. So I had 3 positions to choose from. Bob Gray, who I wouldn't have run against anyways, I think he's done wonderful work for us. There were the other 3 seats. I can't remember the positions. It's David Faber, Amy Howard, and Deborah Stinson. Amy and David were finishing their first 4 years, and they're young. And they came on city council without being on advisory boards. So they really hit it with a huge curve to learn and understand government. And I'm delighted that young people like them are in our government, because they're going to have this town if they're here well after I'm dead. So I didn't really want to file against one of them and run against one of them. I would like to see them continue, particularly because they've just finished one term and they came in with no experience. So that left only one seat. It's Deborah Stinson. We're pretty much the same age, and she was finishing 8 years.
Yeah, some people were somewhat surprised that you won against Deborah, in part.
Me too.
She's the mayor.
It doesn't happen often.
Right. I think we should clarify this for our listeners.
Yes.
It's not like the position of mayor goes along with that seat or anything like that. You won't be mayor unless they happen to elect you. But why don't you explain how it works?
Yes. And I'm glad we're talking about this, because people are still saying, congratulations, I'm so glad you're our new mayor. And it's been 2 months.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Working on 2 months. The mayor is appointed by city council. People are asking a lot, because years ago we used to vote for our mayor. It was an elected seat.
Right.
But that's called a strong mayor. And we didn't have the position of a city manager. And 20 years ago, we hired a city manager. And that's when it's gone to a really odd name, weak mayor. But that just means it's a city council person. They vote, and that they, every 2 years, hopefully, we move that along. Someone else from city council takes on that position.
Okay, well, who does the city manager report to?
City council. All seven people that are city council members are our city manager's boss.
I see.
And he is the boss of all city staff. He runs the staff.
Now, it's just by circumstance that Dave Timmons, the longtime city manager, has just left, and there is a new city manager in place. Have you met him and talked with him yet?
I have. We've talked shortly on and off these last weeks. He started on the 1st. Election night was the 5th, and by the end of the week, I felt pretty confident I had the seat. So I started going to as many meetings as I could, and still am doing, which is all of the subcommittee meetings that City Council does, all the advisory meetings from all the different boards. I have been learning what they do, who's on them. And John Morrow is kind of on the same track, so we've been bumping into each other pretty much most of those meetings. We are going to have our first sit down at the end of this week.
Okay, so the timetable is that you will be sworn in the first week in January.
January 6th.
And bang, you go right off into meetings and away you go, kind of thing.
Exactly.
What do you see as the hot button issues at the moment?
That's a difficult question. I don't see anything really as a hot button, because the 2020 budget was approved, voted on and approved 3-4 weeks ago. So I am going to be working for a year with a budget that's already laid out, where the money's going, what the projects are, and stuff like that, which is good because it gives me time to work with a brand new commission. Even though all the commissions on the Planning Commission, we change because people come and go, and it changes the whole flavor of the group working together. I have to start all over, and I'm the newbie. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to working on the day-to-day things that comes to City Council in their business meetings. There's usually 2 or 3 of those a month. There's usually at least one workshop. And that's where they dig in deep with staff. And I'm hoping a much more changed system so the public can comment.
We don't have really time to talk about this, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least raise the issue of affordable housing, and tied into that is the Cherry Street project, which has a lot of furor around it.
It does. It does. And that's a good one, because that will be coming up this year with Cherry Street. They're making presentations, Homeward Bound Board. It's a difficult project for me. I am not privy to all of the information in the last year. I'm only privy to following it very, very, very closely as a citizen. It is getting to be incredibly expensive. So right now at the last meeting, they said that they thought, from what their proposals, it was going to be $344 a square foot.
That's absurd.
It's crazy. And also, we can't get any money from the state. Their cutoff is 266 a square foot. The feds are 300 a square foot. I think it's going to be a hopefully wonderful dialogue, and city council, we can really think about this. I think a good city council makes decisions. And when it's a wrong decision, or it slowly turns into a wrong decision, I think it's a good city council that can see that and back away from that. And it might be to back away from this project, think Homeward Bound, but back away from this project and take a breather and figure out if we could possibly do this where it is not this expensive.
Right. Well,
it's been a bad project from the get-go. It was not a good idea.
Yeah, I tend to agree personally. For listeners who don't really know it by that name, the Cherry Street Project is that small apartment building that was barged over here from Victoria, Canada, and has been sitting as an eyesore for quite a while.
2 years.
2 years, yes. It's a big issue, and I hope you're right that something can be done about it. One last little thing here is the debt. How much debt does Port Townsend have?
My campaign family and I chose to use the 2017 numbers because we could check them, and they are certified by Washington State. Well, you don't certify debt, but they're with Washington State. So at that time, it's $17 million. And a service debt, meaning the payment, is $1,700,000 a year. It's actually higher than that because 2018 and 2019, jump it up. We're probably closer to $19 million right now.
That's a lot of money for a small town like this.
It's going to take us 4 or 5 years to get that down, so we will be a little more flush. But we are really tied with what we can do as a city because $1,700,000 is a lot of money for us after we've paid salaries and kept the lights on, delivered water to everybody. It's a lot for a small town like us to carry and have things to do, other things like fix our streets.
Yeah, that is one thing that I am very concerned about as a citizen, the state of the streets in this town.
I am very hopeful. Greg Lansing has left us our public works director, but he spent the last year and made an amazing plan by seeing all of our roads, grafting them, figuring out the dollar amount, figuring out which ones to start on first, how to make this work. I think we can start fixing those roads. We all have to be patient, but I think we're going to start seeing it a little bit at a time.
Well, I sure hope you're right.
Me too.
And, you know,
I ran on that.
Yes, I wish you great luck on this because I really would not like to continue breaking my back on the streets of Port Townsend.
I agree.
Now, Monica, this has been a little unfair to you to get you in for an interview when you basically haven't started, but the deal will be in about 6 or 8 months after you've got your feet on the ground. I'd like to invite you to come back and talk about it from the inside and see what's happening by then. Is that a deal?
That's a deal.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been a new member of the Port Townsend City Council, Monica McHager. She's talking about her ideas for the town, and when she comes back in a few months, she will catch us up where we are, and hopefully we'll have some good news. In addition to thanking Monica for her time and ideas, I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the man in the glass booth, the editor and producer of Our Town. He's the one who smooths out all our mumbles and jumbles. He makes me and my guests sound ever so intelligent and much more eloquent than we really are. I want to thank three key people around here, Larry Stein, program director, Kate Ingram, station manager, and Robert Ambrose, chairman of the board. All work incredibly hard to make this a great station. So, listener, I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.